Call the Public Safety Finance Committee meeting to order. And we have, do you have minutes? No minutes, okay. Then our only order of business today is to vote on the Public Safety Finance Bonding Bill and have that matter referred to the Capital Investment Committee. So the chair would move that House File 2859 be recommended to pass and return to the Finance Committee with a recommended re-referral to the Capital Investment Committee. Is there any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion prevails. And now we have the DE2 amendment, and I'm going to move the DE2 amendment to get the bill. I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Yeah, we just did it.
We just recalled the last poll.
Go.
Okay. I need someone to, I'm sorry about that. I need someone to move reconsider House File 2859 so we can amend it, and then we'll be good to go.
I would make that motion, Mr. Chair.
And of course,
we're efficient here, but maybe not quite, maybe we shouldn't be quite that efficient. I think I like the DE2 better.
Okay. Since there's not much in the House File 2859. Any discussion on that motion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion prevails. Okay. Now I would move the DE2 amendment. Is there any discussion on the amendment? I could go, maybe what we should do before we do that is, well, let's get the bill in the order that I'd like it. Then I'll have Mr. Carter, and Mr. Diebel go over the bill. So any discussion on the DE2 amendment? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion prevails. Mr. Carter, do you want to go over the spreadsheet, and then we'll also have Mr. Diebel go over we'll talk about the riders that are in the bill.
Mr. Chair, thank you. We'll be using the spreadsheet that everyone should have. Basically, the funding starts with the Department of Corrections and the Department of Corrections, the Faribault expansion at $16.341 million. That is the ranking is a high ranking. The next one is asset preservation. This has a high ranking, recommended at $15.109 million. The Shakopee perimeter fence under corrections, is being passed with no recommendation by the committee. Next, we have public safety. There are high recommendations for both the governor's proposals and public safety. The first one is the Camp Ripley proposal at $5 million, and the second one is the Southeastern Rochester Regional Public Training Center, and that's at $3.655 million. Then we go down to other, and these are some of the local proposals. There were 12 of those. And basically, on the bill, you'll see that the first one, Red Wing, will be under the Department of Corrections. The other 11 will be under the Department of Public Safety. The committee ranked these. The first ranking is for the Red Wing vocational building. That is ranked number one. And Mr. Chitty, do you want me to just go through all of them? And then the second highest one is the Dakota Public Safety Technology and Support Center. The third one is the Scott County Public Safety Training Facility. The fourth is the Emergency Training Center in Gonvick. The fifth is the Minneapolis Emergency Operations Center. Number six is Annandale Tactical Training Center, and that's for upgrades. The seventh one is Northern Minnesota, the Regional Training Facility, and this is in the city of Grand Rapids. Number eight is the Emergency Response and Industrial Training. This is what they call the Merritt Regional Center in Marshall, Minnesota. Number nine is the Public Safety and Regional Emergency Operations Center in the city of Northfield. Number 10 is the Forensic Lab in Anoka. 11 is the Minneapolis Police Department, their proposal for a forensic lab. And number 12 is the Joint Public Safety Building in the city of Princeton.
Are there any questions on the spreadsheet? Representative Cole.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if you have, and maybe we've had this discussion when I was stuck in traffic trying to get here one morning or not able to be here, but have you had any direction from your leadership in terms of kind of what this committee's target is? Do we have a target? I mean, do we know what, we have these projects ranked in priority, and I don't know that I necessarily have any dispute with the rankings. In fact, I think they're probably correct from my perspective. But I'm curious if we have any idea kind of where the line's likely to be drawn. And obviously, the Capital Investment Committee will have an opportunity to either accept our rankings or do what it will. But do you have any sense for a target from this committee?
Representative Coles, it's a good question, and we don't. And that was it's been frustrating for me because I think that all the projects have merit, and I understand that. And Representative Murphy, is anyone else on the Capital Investment Committee? Representative Murphy, you might want to add some comments here, but I think that committee is going to have a difficult time cutting everything back, and I wish I could say to all of the members who presented projects here for their region and for their community that they're all going to get in there. I think they all had merit. Some had more state significance than others. Some have more regional significance than others. Some are more have some critical needs this bonding year. I don't have a good answer for you, quite frankly. I just I'm going to make the best pitch that I can that public safety and especially asset preservation for DOC and our training facilities that they enhance public safety for the state and should be included in the bonding bill. But when it's all said and done, I'm not even on the committee, so that shows you about how much. Representative Murphy, do you have anything to add about the process?
Not about the target.
Okay, about the target.
No one got targets. They just said, and no one, there wasn't a prescribed method of doing it either. The various divisions are, some are ranking 1, 2, 3, 4, some are high, low, medium, some are, hey, we're hearing them and we're sending them on. And so I've had every experience.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Cole.
Mr. Chairman, I guess that was what I thought the answer to my question was. I rarely ask questions that I don't at least have a pretty good idea what the answer might be. But I appreciate that, and I appreciate your commitment to try to work to get as much of the projects, at least of statewide or regional significance, into this year's bonding bill. Obviously, there's what, four plus billion dollars of requests floating around out there, and the bill's not going to be anywhere near that size. So, Chair Hausman and the other chairs clearly have their work cut out for them, and I just appreciate anything that you can do and that Representative Murphy can do to try to make sure that some of these projects that I think the committee jointly agrees are a priority for the state to make their way into the final bill.
I will do my best, Representative Cole. Thank you. Mr. Siebel, you want to go over a little, just talk a little bit about the riders that are in here?
Sure, Mr. Chair and members. The DE2 amendment is structured on a template provided by the Capital Investment Committee analyst, and Section 2 simply puts the committee's four highest priorities in Subdivision 2 and then ranks the remaining projects, save for the perimeter fence at Shakopee, which there is no recommendation. The Section 3 of the bill provides you with the corrections language. Basically, it's taken right from the bill or the governor's recommendations.
I'm sorry.
And then section four discusses public safety proposals. Again, the language is taken directly from the bill or the governor's proposal. There are some provisions that were added that weren't in the bills as introduced. The first of which is on page three, lines 326 to 332. And this is additional rider language to the public safety center at Camp Ripley, which directs the agency that is operating the facility to not charge, to give priority access to state public safety personnel and to not charge more than they do to military personnel and units that use the facilities. The on page four, there's also an additional rider that's found on lines 4.33 to 4.35, and this is restricts the usage of the funds appropriated for the Scott County Public Safety Training Center, and it simply states that they may not use the funds to build facilities that are currently in existence and available to public safety personnel within a 30-mile radius of the training center. The next additional rider is found on page 6, lines 6.32 to 6.34, and this is a limitation on the funds or on the project for the Anoka County Forensic Crime Lab, which states that the Anoka County may not hire scientists directly from the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension to staff their county crime lab. And then the final addition to the DE2 that you wouldn't have found in a bill or in the governor's proposal is found on page 7, beginning on line 7.11, and this is a directive to the Department of Public Safety to establish a crime lab strategic plan and to do so in the next, by next, I believe, February 1st, and they need to submit that to the legislature as a recommendation setting forth more direction as to where crime labs should be located and who is in most need of them, as well as some suggestions for what kind of funding is necessary and some other staffing concerns that have been raised in the committee.
Thank you. I just wanted to say something about the language, the rider language for Scott County. The reason we did that was that at the hearing, it was discussed that the training facility in Edina provides some has some of these facilities, and so we wanted to make sure that we weren't duplicating what is going on in Edina. So that's the language. I hope we've captured that correctly, so that this doesn't present a problem for the Scott County facility. Representative Diskin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I don't know if it'll cause a problem with the folks at Scott County, but I applaud the move. I think that is prudent use of state tax dollars. I think that facility, because of where it's located, provides additional opportunities which may not be available at Scott County. I don't know if many of you noticed, but there is a railroad line that runs right through that facility, and I know that they're in discussion about putting training facilities for major rail accidents also. So there are other opportunities, and I think this is a very prudent rider and a good use of tax dollars. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Cliff.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not going to make. I think that captures the discussion that we had, and I think I would tend to agree with Representative Biskins. I guess, Mr. Chair, the only comment I would make is that I'm Representative Biskins and I are supposed to be at a Scott County delegation breakfast this morning down in Prior Lake, and we decided it was important to be here. I'd like an opportunity to chat with some of the folks from Scott County. I think it is prudent for us to make sure that we're not duplicating services. The only concern I would have as I read that language is, they have a range, I understand, in Edina. They have a range that's used for different purposes, and it is different construction in Scott County. It allows for the use of long guns and things of that sort that they can't do in Edina. I don't believe that's the intent. I think what you're saying is, if we've got, if we've got a pistol range in Edina, let's not use state money to build a pistol range in Scott County. And I would agree with that, Mr. Chair. Or use state money, at least, to build a pistol range in Scott County. I would agree with that, Mr. Chair. And I'm fine with this language today. I'm looking forward to an opportunity to discuss with the folks in Scott County if it poses any problems. But it seems to me to be headed in the right direction.
I suppose nothing would really prohibit them using county money for...
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And that was the point I was going to bring up as I look over this language here, and knowing that the state has set as a priority at least a 50% match in dollars, there is nothing here that couldn't say they could use their matching dollars, so they could pay for a long-range rifle facility out of their own portion.
Should have taken that language up. I think we're all in agreement. We don't want to be duplicating services in regions that are, you know, we have facilities that are so close. So I'm hoping that in good faith, and maybe we'll need DPS to sort of, as we go through the process, to make sure that the both facilities, that the people who are running both facilities, that we're not duplicating services, and that they're complementing each other rather than representative calls.
Mr. Chair, there is one individual from Scott County here in the audience, and although I don't want to pin all of this on him, the initial appearance is that, you know, this language, I don't think Scott County is going to have a big problem with. So I think we're going to be able to make this work. I don't know that only needs to testify, but I think we're probably in good shape. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, this question may be answered by staff. On the crime lab strategic plan language, in the developing of a, quote, long-term strategic plan, unquote, by the Commissioner of Public Safety, is there a standard operating procedure that exists when the legislature directs a commissioner to develop a plan and report back? As to how that strategic plan will be devised.
Mr. Diebel? Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, I'm not aware of a standard operating procedure for handling the recommendation. Because this is so intricately entwined with funding, I think it was impossible to tell the department to create a strategic plan and implement it without bringing it back to the legislature. So my understanding is that it would be brought back, and then the legislature would be could adopt it and fund it, or adopt portion of it and fund portions of it. But that would be, it wouldn't be a grant of unilateral authority to the department to implement the strategic plan. And even if you did give them that, they probably wouldn't have the funding to do so.
Mr. Carter?
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, precedent was set for this, I think, in 99, 2000, when we required the Department of Public Safety to do something like this for the regional training center. And they came up with two reports. We have them right here. You know, we're addressing a location and a few other issues.
Representative?
Mr. Chairman, I'm content with letting the Commissioner of DPS conduct his working group, or however he's going to do it. And then this committee can look at the procedure by which the strategic plan was devised. In other words, to be very blunt, who was a part of the working group, and if there are any, and this committee at that time can analyze, I suppose, if there's any issues with regard to the persons on the working group relative to where any regional crime labs may be proposed, or do we want to take that bull by the horn now and give direction to the commissioner as to how the strategic plan should be devised? It's only a question. I'm content to wait, frankly.
Representative Smith, we're not, the working group was established and made their report, as you know, back to this committee, and they had some general recommendations that in the future that the state may want to consider some regional forensic labs. I don't There's no language in this rider that has the working group doing anything else. I think that they've provided some direction to the legislature and to DPS. The question now is do we want something, in my mind, which is much more helpful to us, which is like this report that says, that looks at population growth, crime statistics, where geographically is the biggest need for a regional forensic lab. I think that's what we're trying to get at here with this rider language.
Very good.
Representative Eastland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I was just looking at the language, the rider language bond, page 6, dealing with Anoka County not hiring scientists. I think, as I recall, the testimony of the DCA was that was one of their concerns, that there would be some kind of a stealing of scientists from one lab to another. I noticed there isn't any corresponding language to deal with the Minneapolis forensic thing. I didn't see in here. And then the question was, isn't that pretty loose language? I mean, I don't know what it really does even legally. It just says if they're working for the BCA, you can't hire them. But I mean, that means if they quit, and you could hire them tomorrow, there isn't that much in there that really prevents anything from happening there.
Legal
accounting,
Mr. Debo.
Mr. Chair, Representative Eastland, I agree that it's more of a policy statement on behalf of the chair, expressing his intent, whether it's legally binding. You're correct. It's probably doubtful, and it could be circumvented quite easily. But I think it sends the policy message of the chair and perhaps the committee as to what his intent is, that you wouldn't be poaching from the state government. You should probably try to poach from another state and increase the amount of scientists we have in the state, as opposed to just shifting the workload from the state down to Anoka County and leave the state shorthanded.
Mr. Chair, and I guess, could it be more generic, so that if the state puts any money in bonding to any forensic lab, that be the policy, not just directed at Anoka County, but directed at Minneapolis, directed at any place else that's going to happen?
Representative Eastman, I think we should have that language in for the Minneapolis. Can we do that now? Mm-hmm. Representative Eastman will move on line 7.4, that I'm assuming you're going to move this, that the city of Minneapolis may not hire scientists who are working for the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension to staff the crime laboratory in Minneapolis.
I would say that'd be fair.
Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion prevails. Thank you. That was an oversight. Are we ready? Is there any further discussion on the bill as amended? Representative Cole.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I wanted to express a little bit of disappointment, I guess, because before I saw the bill, I was, you know, kind of gearing up for a fight, and I get excited about those kinds of things, as people around here might know. And Mr. Chair, you disappointed me, because I really there's not much that I can criticize here. I might have ranked the project, you know, 6 instead of 7 or 7 instead of 8, but Mr. Chairman, I think you put together a balanced bill, and I appreciate the efforts. So despite my disappointment, I look forward to supporting the bill on passage, and as I said earlier, I hope that you and Representative Murphy and others can persuade the Capital Investment Committee to get as many of these projects into the final bill as possible. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Cole. Other comments or questions? Members, I did try to be as fair as possible, and I really did try to look at what was in the best interest of the state when constructing this. So unless there's any further, then I will renew my motion that House File 2859, as amended, be recommended to pass and return to the Finance Committee with a recommended re-referral to the Capital Investment Committee. think that's the right motion. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion prevails. When are we meeting next? Meeting Tuesday? Okay. We will have a meeting on Tuesday, and we will not be meeting on Wednesday. I suspect that our work will be, we may not need to meet 3 days a week, so that's good. Sleep in. Okay, if there's no other business before this committee.
We have to meet on your dog bill.
No more dog bill. This meeting is good.